kind of been like a big freezer, the whole country, really. It's had a week of record-breaking wind temperatures, including even light snow up in the north in Auckland, you know, about 12, 15 kilometres west of Auckland are the Waitakere Ranges. And they, for those who have flown over to New Zealand from Australia, they'd cross those as they enter into descend into Auckland International Airport. And those ranges there got a bit of a dusting. You know, we kind of say, oh, snow in the Waitakere Ranges. But in reality, it was just a bit of a dusting and gone pretty quick. But there was enough there for one of the television news reporters to take a photograph, a snap, and it made the weather readout on the news last night, the night before last.
You weren't tempted to race up there for a bit of a snowball fight or something, someone?
I didn't. I think it was gone before I knew it had happened, Peter.
And that was. You don't have any memory of the sort of a dusting of snow there before?
Well, I remember. You know, must have been back in the early 70s, maybe. Yeah, around there, where. There was a bit of a rumour that there was a dusting in South Auckland around Otahuhu, but whether or not that was true or not, I don't know. Because people kind of got in their old cars and, you know, headed that way, but it was nothing there. And when it got there, where I was, you know, there's a lot of hail and things like that came down. But certainly the rest of the country, the South Island and the lower and central North Islands in particular, they had a huge dumping of snow, you know, and we're talking roads closed here all over the country. For those who know Wellington, there's the Rimitaka Hills just north of Wellington. It's one of the two routes of driving out of Wellington, and that was closed for quite a time. It's like 36 hours or so, you know, and that was just really deep, trenched snow there. The almost blizzard conditions on some of the ski fields down in the South Island, that stranded a bunch of skiers not far from Christchurch, actually. And it also caused temporary closure of schools and civil facilities, even libraries, you know, in some places. So it absolutely was like a winter wonderland, you know, and I think, you know, there were all these kind of Bing Crosby kind of songs being pulled out to kind of accompany the news reports on the television during the last few weeks, the last few days.
Well, for Christchurch, still struggling with the aftermath of, you know, the earthquake earlier this year, that must have been challenging for people there.
Yeah, particularly for those in the eastern side, but not just them, but, you know, that's where a lot of the focus has been. And there's that liquefaction, that awful kind of sludge that oozes out of the ground during the earthquakes and the aftershocks. That, of course, under the houses, and in some cases, you know, it's kind of oozed into the flooring of the houses and through the carpet. And awful mess. Anyway, that kind of thing is like almost a permafrost at the moment underneath the houses. And while the roads are all slushy, I've got a sister who lives in Christchurch, and she's become quite used to not wearing stiletto heels, Peter, because of the aftershock, and she says it's just one of the coldest things that she can ever remember at the moment.
Okay, and women everywhere will be, you know, sharing her pain, not being able to wear the stilettos.
Yeah, absolutely.
So things are easing now and starting to get back to normal, but the sort of the melting of the snow, is that likely to happen fairly promptly? Are temperatures lifting enough to do that, or is it going to stay cold?
Yeah, it is. Just looking at the weather forecast right at the moment, you're beating us on the temperatures in Adelaide at the moment, but in Auckland we're looking at a high of 15 today and a low of this overnight calming of 6, and it would have been around about that last night. It wasn't as cold the night before last, though. That was Wednesday, Tuesday into Wednesday. It was absolutely freezing. And, you know, my colleagues down in the Wellington end with Scoop, they were complaining as soon as they came online that they could hardly kind of hold the mouse, you know, steady. It was so freezing. I think it was 5 degrees inside in the office at one stage because the internal heaters, you know, the radiator things weren't working. So there was a bit of a moan coming from the staff down there. Generally, no, what we're looking at is there's a bit of a warm front coming down from the northeast, from the Pacific, and that is certainly in the Auckland area. We can notice, touch of humidity with that. Maybe that's going to prepare the youth for a bit of springtime in about a month's time.
Okay, fantastic. Let's get on to something else that's, going to heat up. Yeah, of course, you're going to the polls in November.
Yeah.
John Key, Prime Minister, his popularity continues to be fairly high with polling?
Yeah, absolutely. Popularity of this guy, our slurring Prime Minister, for those who had the pleasure of listening to him speak to the Australian Federal Parliament earlier this year, a couple of months ago, he's continued to rise, with the latest poll showing around 60% of those polled preferring him as their Prime Minister here in New Zealand.
Gee, Julia Gillard's probably looking on with envy.
Oh, you know, that must be a... I can only see it would be a politician's dream to have this kind of thing. I mean, everywhere this guy walks, he's got this smile plastered on his face and he's waving to everybody who kind of notices him, and he's just having a ride to total popularity here. The Labour leader, Phil Goff, now this poor guy, he continues to poll like a second-rate distant contender. You know, he's way back at around 6% preference for him as a Prime Minister. Of those polled in this latest Fairfax poll.
What was his percentage?
Around 6.
6?
Yeah. So that gives you a good idea of the distance.
6 versus 60.
Yeah. So in the House, what we're seeing, you know, when the House is sitting, the Parliament's sitting here, and you just see the Nationals on the Treasury benches, they're just basically laughing at the Labour Party sitting there in opposition, just languishing back. In the party support kind of area, for those who would vote for the National Party, those polled said, well, there were 56% of those polled in this latest Fairfax poll that said that they would vote again for the Nationals. Only 29% said that they would give Labor the tick. And then, you know, down into the smaller parties, the Green Party, it's polling around 6. Now, you've got to remember, in New Zealand's electoral system, a party has to get over 5%, so the Greens are kind of teetering down there a little bit in this poll. Most polls are up significantly. That loss to Labor, whereas Labor descends, a lot of the votes have been spilling over into the Greens in the polls. This is, but in this one, they're looking pretty thin on the ground. Because it's a concern always for the Greens, because they do not have an electorate seat that would allow them to get into Parliament with less percentage. Mm. But generally, John Key, people just seem to love him. And looking at the issues that are driving voter decisions, this is what the Fairfax media poll kind of focused on. It's a real interesting one. What it does show is, the most significant concern of the population, well, of those polls, got to keep saying that, of those polls, is the state of the hospitals and education. Now, the government needs to watch that, and also Labor, in a sense. I mean, hospitals and education, you know, those core social portfolios have been a mainstay of New Zealand Labor Party over here over the years, to make sure that those tick along, that there's, you know, public investment in those, public ownership of those. Now, the Nationals have always been weak in that area. That they always kind of get conflicted with their ideologies to try and actually privatise it down. They drive down the efficiencies of them, ironically, through efficiency gains. If you're going to kind of stereotype their handling of those portfolios, that's what it would be. And that's the main concern of people, is in that area, but you just do not see Labor on that patch. Mm. And you kind of look at that and you can kind of think, well, you know, if these big issues are the ones that are concerning people, like hospitals and education, the cost of living, including fruit and vegetables, law and order, including drug and alcohol culture, there's the overall state of the New Zealand economy, and then just back from that, the sale of state-owned assets. Now, the Labor's picked up on the state-owned assets thing, and it's picked up on, arguably the fruit and vegetables cost of living thing with GST kind of policies around that, excluding them from GST. Mm. But the rest of it, it needs to broaden its base, and you kind of wonder whether or not these strategists are actually on target with this kind of thing, and perhaps that's converting into a lacklustre poll position as we enter into, you know, the final stages really of the election year.
Yeah, where's that big distraction to? The World Cup in between that's going to divert everyone away.
Yeah, and you know, with John Key's luck, New Zealand will win it. Hate to say it to you across the ditch, but maybe that's the case, you know.